Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, a period of 40 days. Now, I remember when I was considerably younger, I was very excited when I realized that the Sundays of Lent don't count as the 40 days. So if you have given up chocolate or sweets or your favorite bourbon or whatever for Lent, I guess technically Sundays don't count. Anyway, 40 days. 40 is a number that we see throughout Scripture. And it's often a period of trial and testing. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert before his call, and 40 days on Mount Sinai while he was waiting for the Ten Commandments. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness, and I'm pretty sure that sometimes this past 10 years have felt like 40 years in the wilderness. Elijah fasted for 40 days as he journeyed to Mount Horeb to receive God's next assignment. And in today's gospel text, we're told that Jesus spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness. Now, one of the things that I have always found very intriguing about this particular text is that even though in the wilderness, Jesus encountered the devil, that did not mean that Jesus was in the wrong place. The text says very clearly that it was the Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness. Obviously, this was part of the plan. Obviously, this encounter was meant for some purpose. In this text, we see a Spirit-filled, we remember the baptism of Jesus, Jesus was filled with the Spirit, a Spirit-filled but very human Jesus, being confronted by some of the same temptations that we face and showing us the way forward through them. There are three temptations, and I've probably, over the years, read dozens of different interpretations of what various people think these three temptations were all about. So today I'm going to give you the version that God seems to have led me to this year. The temptations start with the words, if you are, the Son of God. So right from the get-go, there's this temptation to doubt Jesus' fundamental personal identity. The first temptation, I think, is less about the question of, are you hungry and do you want bread, than it is about that question of, do something to prove who you are. And so I think that as we look at this temptation and the way that Jesus, you know, brushed it off, we are receiving an invitation to simply be who we are, to be who God has created us to be, without feeling that we need to prove anything to anyone. The second temptation is the one that I spoke about in the children's talk, the dare. Just jump off the top of the temple if you really believe that God is going to take care of you. It was really a temptation questioning whether God could be trusted. And so as we look at Jesus brushing off this temptation, I think it invites us to simply trust God. Don't set up tests for God. You know, it's been a while since I've read through the whole of the Bible. Don't tell anyone that. But in my recollection, there is only one time that I recall any kind of a test being viewed with any degree of it being okay, and that was Gideon's fleeces. But other than that, I don't think that testing God is a biblical way of moving forward with things, and certainly not if we're asked to jump off the pinnacle of the temple or something equally as stupid or risky. Just trust that God is who God said that God is. The third is probably the most blatant temptation. Offering Jesus sovereignty of the world. The devil knew full well that Jesus came to earth for a purpose for humanity, and that the end result would be that Jesus would be King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And in effect, the devil is offering him a shortcut, saying, see, that's the end goal, but you know, you don't have to mess around with all of this, you know, in-between stuff. Just bow down to me and you can have it all. The catch is that that would have been a fundamental betrayal of who Jesus is and what his purpose was on earth. Jesus' sovereignty, as Colossians tells us, is exercised in the cross, in the redemption of the world, in his service to humanity. Machiavelli was a scholar who, way back when, I don't know, 14th, 15th, 16th century, something like that, old guy. Anyway, he said, the end justifies the means. You know, as long as you have a good goal, do whatever it takes to get there, and that's okay. Well, Jesus is obviously saying that that's not okay. And the question that I ask myself is, am I sometimes tempted to betray my fundamental values in order to get ahead? Even when it looks like a laudable goal, Jesus says, no, 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 that's not the way to do it. There is no such thing as Christian Machiavellianism. In each of the temptations, Jesus' responses are rooted in the Word of God. It is written. A reminder to us of the value of being rooted in the Word of God. In James, we are told, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And we see that in this particular text. Ultimately, the devil had to leave Jesus. Now, I don't know whether there's some, you know, universal three strikes and you're out rule, or whether the devil was just being particularly persistent on that day. But ultimately, resist the devil and he will flee. So as we read this text today, we have an invitation to simply be who God has made us. We have an invitation to trust that God is who he says he is, and that God will accomplish what God has promised. And we have an invitation, instead of trying to push ourselves forward and get to the goal that we think is appropriate, to simply serve as the Spirit of God calls us. And today, my prayer for us all is that God would give us grace for each of these. Amen.